Good afternoon, fellow gooners. Welcome to another episode of Cannon Talk. I'm yours, Morning, my co-host as usual, Aiden.
Hello, guys. Arsenal take on Bayern Munich at the Allianz Arena. You know, it has never been a happy hunting ground, really, for us in the Champions League of late. And then, you know, we discussed the game against Wolves and the game where we're getting to take on Chelsea.
Yeah. I mean, the match with the clash for most gooners felt like... I know it's like a probably like a different format that we normally do the podcast, but I mean, I'm just like tweaking it somewhat. But I mean, for me, as much as we looked forward to it, like, I mean, by the time the game started, and like, I mean, for me, it felt very much like a anticlimactic event where, I mean, you get down to the, you know, beans of it all, where I was awaiting a sort of clash, like, you know, City versus Real Madrid with this first or second leg, slugging it out. This was more like a strategic chess match or like a football manager game on computer.
That was exactly what it was. And I think it kind of, you know, didn't suit Arsenal. It's like Arsenal were playing with fear. Like, I don't know, they were playing within themselves. You know, Bakayo Saka running into blind alleys, you know, not doing anything. Martinelli also, you know, quite disappointing. And then, you know, for some reason, I can't fault the backline, Dr. Miyasso. You know, he actually... Really, I know people were saying, like, you know, some people, I don't know, on social media, I don't know what game they were watching. They were like, you know, tell me, I said, no, but just playing there. But I mean, for me, he kind of taped up Leroy Sané compared to the first leg, you know, where he would have the freedom. But, like, you know, everything in the air, tell me, I said, was winning against him. It was like, you know, he kept his side quiet. But it's like Arsenal just had no, they were playing with no urgency. It's like they get the ball, they slow it down. You know, instead of just going at Bayern.
I mean, you know, like, what was, like, so frustrating to... I mean, look, as an Arsenal fan, we all have, you know, different opinions and it. But, I mean, like, for me, what I was thinking, look, since you couldn't, like, you know, that key thing that you said a while back, where, you know, you only want to go to the Allianz Arena if you got a cushion. And, like, for me, like, now going there, like, without a cushion, but, I mean, like, you know, still in the tie, but, you know, not having a sort of cushion where almost like Bayern would have to, you know, change. Because, I mean, you could clearly see Bayern were almost, like, playing on sort of autopilot, knowing we will, you know, have to, like, maybe, you know, turn things on or whatever. But, I mean, I counted easily that first half, like, not first half, that first 5 minutes. I don't know how long we were passing the ball just in our own half, making no... attempt to, you know, go, like, even to venture into their half, really, because we were just, everything was happening just from the halfway line into our half, and then back to Raya, and then back, where they're just knocking it to them to each other. And I was telling my son, watching the game, I mean, if you're going to play like it, Bayern are not going to come at you. I mean, they want you to open up. So either, like, you know, mix things up, play it like, you know, a route one ball, or play it like, you know, you would do, say, in rugby, when you're kicking for touch high up the field, where you just make it, maybe camp out for a few minutes in that side. But it's like we're camped out and just playing past to ourselves in our own half.
We were lacking attacking impetus, you know, and like we weren't making them struggle. I mean, you were talking about, you know, Joshua Kimmich, that, you know, Arsenal could get it in. He had an absolutely comfortable time against Arsenal over both legs, you know, up against Martinelli, and Martinelli didn't even do much to make him work.
And I mean, if anything, he started making Martinelli work because, I mean, he was just bombing up, you know, beating the press. And I mean, that is the thing that drove me absolutely nuts in this game also, how weak the press was. I mean, but for Odegaard, and I mean, you know, I felt so sorry for him because, like, he's trying to urge and usher the guys to go forward. And every time you got, like, Neuer having, like, an easy sort of outlet to Mazraoui, or on the other side, like an easy ball to Kimmich. And I think, like, where is the sort of pressure? Because your guys on the left and right side, like in Martinelli and Saka, were not doing much. I think what was happening Kai Havertz was also, like, for somebody that was starting the game as our main forward, he started getting himself in a situation where he was more in midfield or playing as a false nine, not being, like, really the target man we were always, like, you know, wanting him to play, which he was doing well from January until late March.
Yeah, you know, the even Bakayo Saka and Mazraoui as well, he was making Bakayo Saka look absolutely amateur. And you kind of were just looking at this Arsenal side and saying, you know what, you guys aren't ready for this. You know, maybe they should have rather been competing in the Europa League at the top. But you just looked at them and, you know, a Bayern side that's been, you know, probably the worst, not worst Bayern side, but probably the worst form Bayern side in the past 10 years against arguably probably Arsenal's best form team in the last 10 years. And it just looked so easy. It was like Arsenal just went there with like the world on their shoulders, where they should have gone there and just been like, you know what, we have nothing to lose. We're going to play our game. We're going to come at you, play our 1-2s and quick. But everything just seemed so pedestrian. Players were allowed to get back at Bayern. Like you said, it was just like a game of chess where they Bayern were just saying, you know, we'll just counter every move you do. And like you mentioned to me, I think at halftime still, where, you know, Bayern were just playing 1-2 passes and then like it took 2 or 3 passes. And then they were, you know, running at us again, and we like, you know, are being outnumbered.
And what was like standing out like a sore thumb for me, like especially now with the, just on the first half, so it's like for, say for every, say 1 or 2 passes Bayern would play, we were taking like 5 or 6 passes. Like everything seemed jittery. Or I mean, there were even times where, I mean, I couldn't believe what I was watching, because it was like there were moments in that first half where Gabriel and Rice were getting each other's way. Saliba and Gabriel were getting each other's way. And even like with Jorginho also, everybody was almost like, because of that being, what you said now, that, you know, that being overcautious and whatever, they were all almost like under each other's feet. So there was no fluidity and whatever. And I mean, like, look, our best chance came in the 32nd minute. Odegaard ends up finding Martinelli. And I mean, he misses a chance which you should be, you know, really bearing, because we're in a sort of competition where, you know, you usually get punished for guilt, missing guilty it's chance like it. And that is why you need a sort of cutthroat forward that is more clinical. I mean, you might not be a worldie or whatever, but you need to bury these chances, because more often than not, these type of things, especially in the Champions League, you've seen elite clubs when they're playing in there, you have to score these type of chances. And we are, it's like miss upon miss, or, you know, like that final third or whatever, final quarter of the pitch, we just don't have it, that sort of oomph that you need.
Yeah, no, it's like we almost ran out of legs. I mean, it sounds like, you know, stereotypical of our last season, we ran out of legs because of, you know, not real squad rotation. But like you said, Martinelli also should have done better with that opportunity. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'll get to it after we discuss, you know, the final result of the tie, but in general of what I thought of this tie. But, you know, Martinelli should have buried that easily. I mean, you know, pick a corner or something like that, just bury it in it. But it's like, Martinelli, you know, you can see he's a guy that's out of form, and if everybody now all of a sudden is out of form, you need that maverick type player. And I think, you know, as much as, you know, the club has moved on from him, but like a guy like Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is somebody, you know, he was the closest thing to a maverick we had, you know, over recent years, where, you know, if you look at that FA Cup victory we had with him in charge, I mean, he scored a brace in the semi-final and in the finals, when we kind of had no business winning the FA Cup. And I think you miss a type of guy like that, you know, who can just take, give him one opportunity, and, you know, he takes that, it's 1-0 to Arsenal at the Allianz Arena, and, you know, all of a sudden Bayern Munich cannot play that type of game that they're playing anymore.
I mean, like, you know, we had, like, maybe differ from you, is like, my guy was always Alexis Sanchez for that, because I just think, you know, where Aubameyang would have his ins and outs, because I mean, I remember also European ties where in the Europa League, where he would almost like be anonymous also at times. But for me, when I look at somebody like Alexis Sanchez, it's something that you mentioned a while back also, where it's almost like, you know, if you guys aren't going to do anything, I'm going to go alone and do this and win this tie or win this match for us. And I just think, you know, something that you mentioned a while back also, even years back, where you also said, like, whenever we close to getting to complete with a project, there's always one jigsaw puzzle missing.
Yeah.
And it's like, right now, we don't have that guy that I mean, look, we, as I said, like, I'm with you with that, the stuff we're going to bring on like later on about the squad in general. But I just think, like, even if a team is, like, fatigued or whatever, that you're almost like your talisman is always going to be the one that's going to, you know, almost like, he might not have the cavalry with him, but he's going to go gung-ho himself and do and turn things, he's like, in our favor. And I mean, maybe that also gives the squad in general, even if they're tiring, that little, just a boost of energy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that being said, we go on to the second half. I mean, no sooner the second half starts, Goretzka ends up seeing his header cannon off the crossbar. The follow up, Guerrero ends up having a shot at goal. Arsenal end up deflecting for a corner. And I mean, what was actually really worrying me at that point also, every time, say, Bayern were getting corners, you could actually see the Arsenal players. I mean, and this is now going like 40, like say 45 to 50, minute 50. Their hands were already on their knees. And I thought, oh my God, like, are we like really like burning out real time here?
Yeah, it was that. And you could also see that this Arsenal side started becoming shaky. And you could see, for me as a fan, this guy slipping away.
Yeah.
Because it was like we were just losing grip on this guy. Bayern were getting stronger. We couldn't make a pass. We didn't know who to pass to. We just didn't know. And it was so frustrating because a team with so much potential just slowly, mentally, just started losing that mental thing. And Bayern started, getting into this Hennessy and just started taking control of the game. And we were all over the place.
And I mean, what was really angering me is you could see, and I mean, look, Declan Rice has really covered our backside for the majority of the season, played, he's hard. And I mean, I could see by when we were getting already to the hour mark, he looked shattered. And I thought to myself, look, you've got a man like Thomas Partey. I mean, look, okay, he hasn't had that much minutes, but I mean, you need just some sort of extra legs or whatever. Because I mean, I'd rather than have somebody that maybe is a bit ring rusty or whatever, but have somebody with some legs that can at least run. Because I mean, they were it was getting also to moments in the game where the minute they did that what we were talking early on of the 1-2 passes, the minute they already breached the press of Arsenal and they were like running free, almost like any of our midfielders had no legs, so they're not gonna really do any tracking back. So you're gonna be either way, you're gonna be outnumbered, because it's almost like a domino effect. Because when it's like, say, one of the midfielders, Musiala had a fantastic game, Goretzka as well. And even Lima again.
Yeah.
And they see they beat the Arsenal press. It just makes the likes of Kimmich and Mazraoui at the time make them more brave. And even Guerrero was like a normal left back. He was playing more like a wing back in this match. I mean, all of a sudden, you got them doing overlap runs. And Arsenal, someone like Tomiyasu or Ben White, were just getting outrun and outnumbered because Saka wasn't helping much. Martinelli did try. But, I mean, eventually, it empties your tank as well.
Yeah, it looked like we just lacked kind of any ideas, and we were just kind of going with it, and just it was like almost like the holes getting deeper and deeper, and the team couldn't dig themselves out.
For me, Arteta is somebody that's more very active when you see him home matches and stuff like that, or when we're doing well away, in the run that we're in. But I mean, it's almost like he showed that glimpses of the Arteta when we lost at Fulham or we lost at the Emirates against West Ham. Because he just stood there every time and hand on his mouth and not sure what he must do. And I thought, it's more like he's going into sort of like a panic mode because he's getting overwhelmed, seeing his team, getting run, run flat into the ground. And I mean, he's not really having answers or what we always talk about the plan B that was showing earlier on in 2024. And now all of a sudden he looked like, what I think, I'm not sure if you mentioned it, but it was in the headlights moments.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned, a guy like Thomas Partey maybe could have slotted into that midfield, maybe, to kind of bolster it up and just kind of get a foothold in the game. We didn't have to kind of continue playing the same way we were playing. Like you said, Rice was a bit fatigued. I think Odegaard also eventually, he was just running for the sake of trying to close down, but nobody was with him. So I don't try to throw a Thomas Partey into the mix, maybe to help Declan Rice and even Jorginho. Try maybe something with the three of them, where you can kind of just dictate and win all the 50-50 balls in the field. I mean, because we were losing that also. Every, second ball, Bayern was winning. So why not try and win that ball and maybe, even bring, Jesus on a bit sooner to kind of play a bit closer to Havertz, just so that we can kind of try something new, because we're trying the same thing. And Bayern was watching us all the time, you play in front of us, it's fine.
And I mean, how late was it? I mean, okay, I'm still going to get to that point, but I mean, with regards to the match again, on the 63rd minute, Zana ends up bursting down the left flank. He ends up whipping in a cross-wheel pass, and which, one clearly sees Arsenal already not alert enough to, pick up the runners already off the wall. And I mean, Guerrero ends up collecting the cross. and immediately plays the ball into the danger area, and you know, seemingly out of nowhere, Kimmich comes and he ends up with a bullet header pass. Ryan, Bayern go 1-0 up, and I mean, Arsenal defense look, you know, totally flat-footed with the ball in.
And then obviously, you know, you see Arteta trying to make the changes the moment we concede, you know, very being reactive instead of proactive. I mean, we could have tried to stop that somehow.
Yes,
and yeah. He makes like that changes that has no real sense, you know. He takes like, you know, Tomiyasu off, I think it was, or Tomiyasu or Ben White, or he just takes off like those players to make the team, you know, so called more attacking. But it's like the team almost looks like out of shape completely, and then, you know, he tries to throw in, I think, Nketiah at some point. But I mean, like it's not going to do anything. Like, Nketiah is not going to come on against Bayern. Like, Nketiah is not the type of player that's going to come on even against Bayern Munich and do something. You know, he doesn't do it in the Premier League, you know, week in, week out. So now you throw him on the field and say, you know, make a miracle happen against Bayern Munich. Rather try something else. Rather stick maybe somebody else on top, or stick, you know, go 4-4-2. Jesus and Havertz, or, you know, Martinelli, play him up top, and, you know, try him up top with somebody behind Havertz, or take Odegaard off. But he comes and throws Nketiah on now as well. Like, you know, I don't know how you feel, but when you see Nketiah coming on, I don't think you think he's going to score a brace to turn the tie.
And I mean, like, what also shocked me was when Jesus and Trossard came on, I was like, in like, my mindset is thinking, a week ago when they came on and yeah, caused a bit of magic and led to that, and also like made us an attacking threat. And this time around, they come on, there's like, they seem like totally like, you know, flat out of ideas themselves.
Yeah.
And both of them look tired. And I thought to myself, I mean, you guys are the freshest guys on the field, and yet you guys look like, you know, overdoing things, and then, like, you know, hacking players down, like, giving away stupid fouls. And we,
yeah, it's frustrating.
Yes, and now we, like, you know, you worked yourself all the way to the final third, and through, you know, Jesus overrunning the ball a few times, over-dribbling, either losing the ball or fouling people, same with Trossard as well. And I thought, you know, these guys are supposed to give us like, that burst of, like, that injection of, you know, mental, you know, strength and almost like power. And, I mean, yet it looked even flatter than.
Yeah. And you know, that's something really frustrating. When we were trying to push for goals, I mean, Saka gets a corner. You know, he does that. I think towards the end of the match, he gets a corner. And, like, you, I think, you know, I mean, right, I mean, like, just, like, you know, put this on the penalty spot, cause confusion, yeah, you know, just make it difficult. Nope, it gets straight into the first man. And you're like, are you kidding me?
No, but, I mean, you see, Aiden, this is also where it's going to lead us to that later on in the talking point section, because you're letting a guy that played almost like, I don't know how many matches already and how many minutes a season. And I mean, he's probably running just on fumes at the moment, and you're letting him take the corner. They're not honest. I mean, not that I'm the happiest, say, with Trossard's delivery, but you take somebody with fresher legs or whatever. But I mean, you're almost like letting somebody that's almost like near on his, you know, on his backside already from all the running and whatever defending and that. And now you're still expecting him to get the ball and hit the ball into the mixer. And I just thought to myself, I mean, as much as a person want to now, like, you know, throw it, say, on Saka's table or whoever. But then I think to myself, you know, Arteta, you almost like set yourself up for this. You literally walked yourself into that rake.
Yeah, and like, you know, a lot of times he plays Saka. I'm not saying it's unnecessary, but like, he lets Saka finish games unnecessarily at times. I mean, you've seen City in their title-winning seasons, you know, where the moment the game is wrapped up, and I mean, not, I don't mean like 2-0, I mean, I'm talking about like 3-0 maybe, or 4-0, and the game's comfortable with 25 to 35 minutes to go. He like takes Saka over. I mean, you know, West Ham, we won 6-0. I mean, you know, Saka for me could have come off, you know, probably sooner in the game than he probably does, you know, and you look at the Burnley game. But like, Arteta plays his players until, you know, almost into the red zone. He's like, okay, you know what? Like, I'm gonna bring you off now, you know, or I'm gonna, instead of sometimes even resting Saka and giving other guys a chance. But, you know, like you said, you know, playing in the red zone and then, you know, letting him take that final corner where like Trossard could have taken it, or, you know, to try something else, or, you know, someone else to take it. But, you know, at the end of the day, you have to look at it holistically over two legs, you know, and Arsenal lost this tie in moments. It was the moment was, you know, Arsenal go 1-0 up. You know, Ben White could have made it 2-0. And then all of a sudden, the moment of David Raya, Gabriel, all it takes is put the ball in just the touch. Nope, trying to be too fancy. In that moment, you make the tie 1-1. You know, Saliba just lashes out into Sané, 2-1. You know, Saka, Bakayo Saka at 2-2. You know, maybe could have stayed on his feet, but tries to win a penalty. And, you know, in the situation now where you have to kind of, you know, win at the Allianz Arena, whereas, you know, it could have been a totally different game. And people could have been praising us for this 1-0 defeat if we had gotten the result at Emirates.
Yeah. You know, it was for me, like, you know, by the time the final whistle went, it was actually sad to see, you know, like getting eliminated without even making a real fight of it. Like, you know, exiting the Champions League on a whimper, not even like this sort of, you know, showing your teeth or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's... Look, I always hear them say, yeah, the fans don't, you know, feel this or feel that. We feel it. And I mean, for me, it hurt. I mean, like, to see that. Then I'd rather, I think you mentioned it, or we've also always mentioned it down the years that we even, like, before we even deep podcasting, and you want to at least see, you know, us going down with that sinking ship, but with a fight at least.
Yes.
Not just like, you know, waving the white flag and sinking down. Not like
make
that.
Make it difficult. Make it so uncomfortable that, you know, Bayern Munich, like after the game, they're also sitting on the floor, like, you know, just what the game we played now. But it was so easy, even with it, like, you know, last few minutes to go, I'm like, push. And the guys are like, you know, knocking the ball, playing across the back, you know, calling each other to come fetch the ball. It was like, I'm like, for flip's sakes, like, you know, show some urgency, make it difficult, like, get involved. I mean, they even played Eric Dier at left back at one stage for a bit when that Korean centre back game on, and he looked comfortable. Then that Korean centre back came and played left back against Saka, and it looked comfortable. I mean, you know, we were always talking about their back line, you know, it's exposing for pace. We made Eric Dier look like a world class centre back, and he couldn't even get into a Tottenham side.
Yeah, I felt the same way. So we move on from that disappointment, sadly, and we move on to this evening's game. Wolves versus Arsenal, 11th meet 2nd in the table. We need, you know, to shake the cobwebs, you know, fast. And I mean, we're now in the business end of the title race. And I mean, as I said, current game at the Molineux, with a chance to go top, with City playing the FA Cup semi-final later on this afternoon.
Kind of reminds me similar of last season against Southampton, you know, where City were playing FA Cup semi-final and, you know, we needed to go beat Southampton at the Emirates and we do 3-3 and, you know, City stayed on top of the pile, even though they had to play a semi-final and like had two games in hand or a game in hand or something, and we had to go win at the Etihad. So I think, let's hope this Arsenal side can, I'm going to go into a talking point later on about mentality, but let's hope this Arsenal side can go out there, you know, have a, you know, obviously it's a bit disappointing. And we spoke about in the podcast in the week about, you know, we're in the Champions League semi-final and we, you know, kind of beat Wolves. But now I think we need to go and beat Wolves convincingly. You know, we can't have this emotional game where it's a roller coaster and, you know, we go 1-0 down, make it 1-1 and we score in the 90th minute. And, you know, we can't go on emotion. I think a lot of people have criticized Arsenal of being a very emotional side that, you know, when they, you know, just running on a high. I think you need to kind of go to the Molineux today and just be like, you know what, we're going to correct our wrongs. We're going to win, you know, comfortably, you know, get stuck in, you know, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but try to be 3-0 up at halftime, you know, where you're like, let City watch the game and be like, you know what, we're going to have to, even though they're busy with the semi-final, they need to think to themselves, Flip, Arsenal won quite convincingly there. They're pulling away with goal difference again. And, you know, we have to now go and beat whoever we need to go and beat. So, you know, I'm expecting a confident start. But, like, now you have to wonder, you know, how does Arteta shuffle his pack? Because players are exhausted now. Players just pick themselves up. And who plays where now? You know, how would you approach this game personally? If you had to be Mikel Arteta, do you go with the same starting lineup as the Champions League, or do you like try to shuffle your pack slightly? And if you did, how would you shuffle the pack?
Well, like you know, before we get into that, I just want to now bring up I listened this morning to Gary O'Neill's press conference leading up to the game. So the thing is, from what he was saying is, look, he wants to, you know, he knows he's been kind of rattling the cages of some of the top teams and they have played them this season. And what he's now said is, he just finds it opportunity because, like, going into this game, they're going to be missing Dawson in centre-back. Yeah. He's out. Then they got that Bellegarde, or that central midfielder that they bought in from the French league. He's out with it for today's game. Then Cunha is out with there's too much bruising on that player's muscle. Because he first said it was going to probably be a doubt. But, I mean, of course, we know the doubts are normally, you know, normally. Yeah. But he's, like a definite out. Then Semedo is out. Because he's got some sort of like fiber damage on his calf muscle. So that is like a definite out. Then that Lamina is out. Neto is out. And then like the only question mark for them at the moment, like for today's match, is that left back Nouri. Al Nouri, yeah. He's going to be like a doubt. Like, I mean, they're hoping to get him in for today's game. But they now, like, their concern is, you know, not having like a fully strength squad against us now for this game. But that being said, to your question, I think the squad does need some sort of rotation, because I honestly don't think it's going to be fair on someone like Rice to play, you know, after, you know, you're playing yourself shattered. Then you rather bring someone like Rice on with 20 whatever minutes to go. But, you know, something that's always been irking me somewhat is like, I mean, what I also hate now is like jump, because I'm kind of jumping the gun also a little bit to the talking point section, which is the end of the podcast. But for me, it's like Arteta takes a lot of the squad players also for granted, because I think somebody like El Neni will still have a lot to offer, even though he's in the final stretch of his contract. Let that man play. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to win us games, but more often than not, I mean, we've seen it now down the years, or even under Wenger as well. When we have a game that's winnable or whatever, you bring him on, everybody always says he's like a type of safety player, but rather have a safety player on when you're in the lead of a game and, you know, what we have, we're old, but not going to do something rash, over dribble or whatever. Just keep it basic, keep the game ticking. And I think that is where Arteta has kind of lost it for me personally with the use of his squad. And I mean, as I said, it's going to be also a talking point for later on in the show, but still, this is the thing that has been really irking me a lot. For like, even in his reign now at the club, it's not like once he has his little unit of favorites, once you're not in that circle, you're just going to be basically getting the odd 5-10 minutes and that's it. And I mean, I'm not the biggest Nketiah fan or Smith Rowe fan or whatever, but I mean, how do you expect them to just come in and do something or work some magic if you barely give them time, like to you know, minutes? Or even Fabio Vieira is becoming like a forgotten man at the club. Because I mean, there were games, something that you now brought up earlier. There's been matches where we go into like a first half and we 4-5-0 up, and we'll still play that same guys on and on. And I'm thinking, use your squad. I mean, there's an ideal time to give like 3 or 4 like of your 5 subs you're allowed to. There they can get easily like 30-35 minutes in.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. I actually, you know, I think he squad rotating is his biggest problem. And, you know, you mentioned Al Neni. I mean, he's not obviously a world beater, but I mean, remember that game at Old Trafford during COVID when Aubameyang scored the penalty, we won 1-0. Al Neni and Partey just bossed in the middle of the park. And some games, you just need that, like, for instance, Bayern Munich away from home now. Like, you know, I know we're hopping up and down, but then that game away from home, maybe you just needed a few players just to have the foot and ball dominate that midfield for maybe about 60 minutes. Okay, you know, we're in the tie still, just control the game, almost boss and dictate how you want the pace of the game to go. Then maybe you throw on your game changes a bit. But it's like, you know, Arteta plays the same thing every single week, you know, it's like the same thing all the time. And these guys don't have, you know, any legs left. And we can see maybe, you know, Wolves maybe overrunning us if we're going to go there with the same thing. And I mean, for me, Zinchenko, you know, for me, doesn't deserve a start. So you're either going to have to go with the likes of, you know, maybe bring Kivio back into the team. Right back, maybe Tomiyasu needs the opportunity, because I think Ben White now, you know, we've seen Ben White. When Ben White is fresh, you know, he can, he's your main guy in the team. You know, he's like a stalwart in the team. But the moment that guy hits that fatigue stage, or he doesn't, he feels a bit leggy, you can see the difference between Ben White. It's fresh and Ben White that's not fresh. It needs a break.
Yeah. So from that, we move our attention to the Tuesday night fixture, which is like one of the gaming ends. Not gaming ends, but like one of those catch-up games. Arsenal versus Chelsea on Tuesday evening, a London derby at the Emirates. For Chelsea, I saw like the doubts for them was, of course, Sanchez. But I mean, look, I think that Petrovic guy has been like almost like the number one for them at the moment. Yeah. Sterling is like down ill at the moment. Caldwell has some sort of foot injury. Fernandes and Di Sassi have knocks. But I mean, it's worth seeing also the sort of squad that they put out against a Man City team that has got now what, 2 hours of football in their legs. So I just don't know how sharp City are going to be. And as you said now, it's time to now, you know, make the points count for us and almost like make, you know, City work even extra harder to sort of play catch up to you know, get the points. And then, of course, like the key guys out, definitely out for Chelsea is Nkunku, Ugochukwu, James. Are these James out again? Because, I mean, I don't know how many injuries he has per season for Chelsea at the moment. And then, of course, Lavia and Fofana also are definitely out.
Yeah, Chelsea is a scary prospect because it seems like a Cole Palmer's quite ticking quite nicely at Chelsea, you know. A real leader type player. So I'm not saying Arsenal should sign a player like that, but I'm saying that type of, you know, he's so young, but he can take the world on his shoulder and he's not scared to take people on. He's very unpredictable and he, you know, just gets himself stuck about it. Sometimes Arsenal miss a player like that, you know, takes the game with the scruff of the neck, you know. So Bukayo Saka can do that, but they can close him out. And I think Chelsea has been a thorn in a lot in City side this season, actually. You know, taking 4 points away from them in total. So yeah, I mean, they gave us quite a game at Stamford Bridge. You know, silly mistakes once again. You know, Arsenal playing in moments, giving away silly errors, and now it's up to us now, you know, to kind of build 6 points over the next, you know, two games to kind of just keep ourselves there and thereabout at least.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm actually looking forward to that. I'm gonna watch the semi-final as well. Like, because I think it's like a 6:15 kickoff South Africa time. So I'm probably gonna try to watch that, and then like, you know, leading into our match, because our match is actually only at 8:30 this evening.
I think so, I'll be rooting for City in that aspect because I just want them to carry on going and having an extra picture, even though it's not gonna impact the season much. But I just feel that, you know, City is more likely to beat United in the final, and I just don't want to United to win a trophy, because I think when we get to the talking points, I'll bring that up. There's a few talking points I have, you know.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that I was actually shocked at, just now going on to the City situation, I mean, when I watched that Man City-Real Madrid match the other night in the semi-final, I was actually surprised to see Haaland and De Bruyne actually asked to be taken off the field because they could not play. And I mean, it also told me a hell of a lot of the game itself, like, you know, a general. Because when I saw Vinicius, I think the first half of extra time, when he ran, I don't know, he did some sort of halfway run towards the box. I mean, eventually got ushered off the ball or whatever. And he could not get up. I mean, Edison was trying to help him up. His legs were like totally gone, and that shows you, excuse me, the intensity of that tie. And, you know, I think that also we have to give respect to Man City and Real Madrid. I mean, both teams for 120 minutes threw their bodies on the line, like, you know, played. Because, I mean, you know, a part of me in a burst of laughing, I think midway in the second half of extra time, where I started looking, you know, like when they sometimes show on TV the over 50s or over 65s or whatever. They were just like walking, like, you know, because then even the commentator was saying it's unreal. You're watching two elite teams and they're playing it at almost like snail space. Because I mean, you could see they played themselves into the ground over, say, the two legs plus they squeezed in league fixture. So I mean, as I said, they have to, you know, top my hat off to the both sets of players. But I mean, I just wonder if that could also be a massive impact on the game later on in the semi-final.
I'm hoping so. Look, I'm hoping that the hangover kind of goes beyond the semi-final. You know, I'd rather let him win the semi-final and then, you know, throw away some points somewhere along the line. But you know, I don't know if you have talking points, but like if you have, I'm just going for my first one. If you have a second, another one, you can go, and then you know we can take go on like that. But like my first one to you is, you know, is there something missing with Arteta's mentality? Is Arteta's teams mentally weak? And I ask this question because, you know, in 2021-22 season, we were chasing the top four battle, right? I mean, we were, you know, there and there about for top four. I mean, then came a set of games where, you know, we lost to Crystal Palace 3-0 in April, 9th of April. We lost 2-1 to Brighton. So that the 16th of April, we lost 1-0 to Southampton. And then, okay, we beat Chelsea United. But we still had the top four race in our hands, even after losing three games. Then we went to the Tottenham Stadium. We got hammered 3-0 because the players just were all over that place that game. Rob Holding getting sent off and giving away a penalty. Yeah. Or Cedric gave away a penalty, sorry. And, I mean, then we had to go to Newcastle, which also was a cup final-esque game. And we lost 2-0. Ultimately, you know, handing top four to Tottenham. Then we go to the Premier League last season. You know, we go 9th of April, once again April. 9th of April, we go to Anfield leading 2-0. We go throw that game away, we draw 2-2. We go to West Ham, we're leading 2-0, we draw 2-2. We play Southampton at the Emirates in April, we draw 3-3. We go to the Etihad the 26th of April, we lose 4-1. Ultimately, April, it just seems like we threw points away, and then, you know, we win two fixtures, and then we go off and falter off and lose to Brighton and Nottingham Forest back-to-back, hand the title to City. So it's almost like the side, the moment you get this cup final-esque feeling towards where we're going in the season, they completely capitulate. Do you think that's something that's an Arteta problem, or what is it that a team that's so strong, just mentally when it counts, just falls and folds, you know, terribly?
Now, look, I just want to also let the listeners know, you and I have not, I mean, we might be related, but, I mean, we have not cross-referenced notes. We have not given, because, I mean, that's how I actually like it. You know, make our points and whatever, and references and whatever. Now, this is now what I'm going to tell you now, and you're not going to believe it. That point that you just made is actually my second major talking point I'm going to go into right now, and it's... Yeah. It's crazy. Maybe it's telepathic. I don't know. But I mean, as I said, you and I have not discussed anything about this type of thing that I'm going to bring up now. But it's almost like nail on exactly what you just brought up. Because my point is here, the team, like Arsenal's team playing, is like a team playing a season of four quarters. Because I said,
yeah,
we start off maybe strong. Now at that point, quarter one. Then second quarter, we have that collapse, which was like that December period. Then you got when the new year starts, you have like quarter number three, a resurgence, I put there. And then you get to point number four, quarter four, we start going off the rails. And it's almost like you see that it goes up and down and up. Because, you know, then I'd rather have that second quarter thing, we have a collapse. But then I think, and I mean, look, you and I have been Arsenal fans long enough. And I mean, I've seen title runs and whatever, and I mean, I've seen Arsenal having seasons the invincible season, but I've seen we Arsenal have a strong start, then they have that sort of collapse, which is November, December.
Yeah,
point taken. But then from the new year, you have that resurgence quarter three and quarter four, where it's like from the new year right through till the end, you can't stop them. Unless they come to reach that point where title is won, done and dusted,
then
maybe take our foot off the gas. But other than that, it's like one of the most, like, I don't know, our Wenger had it. I mean, of course, the sort of player characters that they had, but they would go non-stop, like what they call it, a juggernaut, non-stop, unstoppable, and whatever. And once they only saw that the target was achieved, then you see them finally going like, okay, we take a breath now.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's roll up sleeves and you go in for the grind, the hard grind. And I just think Arteta, there's times he's too, and this is also like leads me now to that first point that I wanted to bring up was roughly your point also, Arteta's squad issues, because I just find like once he has his little group of his favorites, what's worrying is it's like a group of players that are like 12, 13 players.
Yes.
And we've got a squad of easily 25 to 30. So it's not like he's keeping his little golden eggs in one basket. He's keeping the sort of plain stock standard ones in another basket. And then he's also having some that is ready for discarding, but still has to keep them as part of the squad. And I think until you can blend all that in one, you know, one big batch type of thing, you're going to have that sort of gulf. Because now all of a sudden, he's burning out his first batch of his golden eggs.
Yeah. His
mediocre batch of eggs are coming now. And somebody totally lost. And of course, the third batch, or discarded ones, or on the verge of being discarded, don't know where they stand at the club right now.
And that's the problem. I mean, remember the guys like Edu? He wasn't the best of player in terms of, you know, he wasn't, if Gilberto Silva or Patrick Vieira were fit, he wasn't getting to play. But yeah, the way Arsene Wenger did things that time was, you know, you slot him in, you know, let him get a game or two. Let you rest maybe Patrick Vieira. The rest, the next game you rest Gilberto Silva. And if you see Edu's having a nice run of form, you know, you just keep him in there until you're like, okay, you know what? It's time to go back to the norm. That time you have a fresh Gilberto Silva and a Patrick Vieira. Then a guy like Silva and Wiltord would come slot in for a few games, get a few goals, get some momentum running. Because at the end of the day, you know, I can't expect to come out of the cold, no form. You know, I'm not having a lot of time to do something. Now all of a sudden he's like, you know, Saliba picks up an injury. Now you're forcing, you know, Kivio to play centre back now and say, you know, I expect you to perform at a high level against Bayern Munich now because, or, you know, you're playing Man City in a champion or like a very important league clash, or you play, you know, Spurs away from home, and you know, your golden eggs, you know, gets injured. So now you're throwing the person in and say perform. It doesn't happen.
Yes.
Let players take turns. You know, like you said, manage your squad. Give Declan Rice a break. Try on any there. You know, you have to try players here and there because I'm sure a fresher Arsenal could have done the business. And that kind of now leads to another point of is like, you know, Arteta needs to start respecting competitions a bit more. You know, he doesn't have that caliber of, you know, he's won 4 Premier League titles, 2 Carabao Cups, 3 FA Cups and a Champions League and maybe a Europa League, that he's able to, you know, in the start of the season say, you know what, I'm going to rotate my batch of players and against West Ham in the Carabao Cup and get knocked out. You know, you don't have that luxury. He needs to be going for the competitions. I mean, you know, right now, you know, you as an Arsenal fan can tell, you can't tell me you won't be disappointed, you know, as if we end, you know, second in the Premier League and maybe United, for example, you know, go and win the FA Cup and they go on some run, they win the FA Cup. Last season they won the Carabao Cup, you know, made it in the Champions League. This season they won the FA Cup. Yes, they're going to play in the Europa League, but they can compete in the Europa League. Like last season, Arteta could have also won the Europa League, but he decided, you know what, I'm going to put all my eggs in the basket for the Premier League. Look what happened. He needs to start winning a trophy now. I don't know where, like, you know, what would classify for you, you know, that it's time to win a trophy now. I know whether it's a Carabao Cup, whether it's an FA Cup, you know, with maybe a top four finish, but at some point, you know, these guys need to know what it's like to go over the finish line together.
You know, one thing that I've also now, I'm just looking at this, like, I mean, I've got my phone open on the player stats and that. And I mean, I find it crazy. I mean, it's like you've got, I mean, I look at it, just Saka now. He's got like just over 2,500 minutes of football in his legs.
Yeah.
And then the likes of Declan also way over 2,500. And then you go, like, say, someone like Fabio Vieira, 284 minutes in total. Sure. He got, with regards to Saka, 30 matches played and 30 matches started. So sure, like he's given little, like, but for injury, he's not really given a sort of leeway. And then, I mean, I'm just going out randomly. Emil Smith Rowe, 12 matches, 3 only started, and he's got 325 minutes under the belt. How does Arteta expect to keep his squad physically and mentally fit if he's going to... Look, I'm not going to be like, say, the sort of bandwagon that's going to say, oh, yeah, Arteta out. But, I mean, yeah, it's getting to a point now where you have to also think, it's got nothing to do with Arteta in or out. It's got to do with how much money he's got to spend to build on his team. And, I mean, look, he's the one that gave people like Nketiah, Smith Rowe, etc., new contracts. So, I mean, you're kind of playing a dangerous game because now all of a sudden you're giving Nelson, you convince Nelson to stay on, but you're not making use of him. So,
yeah,
why are we then burning money away? Because then I would rather have a 25-man squad with, you know, almost like a very City, a Man City-based setup where you've got a strong A team, you've got even a, like, quite a strong, or a very, very competitive B team, but you've got each, all of them are going to be happy and all of them are fighting. And here we're getting to a situation where his favourites barely get dropped, or you said something with regards to Zinchenko and Jesus, where square pegs, round holes, we can clearly see we have moved on as a club from those players. Maybe, okay, they did help in that first season of theirs, but we're getting now to a stage where you can see the football brand, and also, like, now being in an elite competition like the Champions League, it's not Europa League where you can maybe get away with certain things or small things. Yeah, your errors and whatever get punished tenfold. So, I mean, we're getting to a season, like, if Arteta really wants to be taken serious, I mean, he will have to, this also, like, leads me now to the final point before we end off. Like, where would you start the rebuild? Because, I mean, clearly we saw the gulf between us and Bayern, because it's got also nothing to do with, how can I say, like, say, league form of theirs and league form of ours. But you could see, like, based on the pedigree of Bayern Munich, they exactly knew how to play, like, the whole setup, and it's almost like drilled into them from, like, whichever coach even comes into Bayern Munich, it's drilled into that ethic of the club's ethic is also drilled into the coach. And I think that is something where Arteta, I mean, like, personally, look, I don't want to be that over controversial, but for me, it's like, look, he's going to get probably another big transfer budget this season, like the summer. Because, look, we also did not buy in January, and I mean, rightfully so. I mean, they decided, okay, we're not going to just, like, panic buy. But, I mean, now we're going to get to a point of the season, like, of the off season, where he's going to be given, again, I mean, I'm, like, in my mind, I'm probably thinking, you know, especially with getting this also far in the Champions League, it's probably going to be, plus our transfer budget, probably something in the region of close to 200 or 250 million pounds. Because I got the feeling, as much as sometimes we want to mock or this or whatever, I think Arsenal also sit on a hell of a lot of money, like, transfer budget-wise, especially the way they've also maneuvered their way over the season, of, you know, getting the debt, everything out of the way, and more focus now on getting, you know, almost like upgrading on players. Because, I mean, what, where would you start your upgrade if you think now come the summer?
Look, I think our attacking players need a bit of an upgrade. I don't mean, you know, Sal Saka, Sal Martinelli, Sal whatever. You need a Maverick-type player up front, you know, like Sanchez, Mulder, Bamiang, Mulder, guy that, you know, so just says, I'm here. Like, you know, when things are a bit tough, says, I want the ball. Like, give me the ball. Like, because we don't have that. I mean, against Bayern Munich, for example, like, everybody was scared to be brave. And we need somebody that's going to be brave, you know, that's going to get on the end of things, that's going to try to, you know, we're missing a match winner. So I don't know what that is. Is it a center forward, or is it somebody that can challenge Martinelli also? Because Martinelli's form has been, you know, the season in general, like, hasn't been as what it was, you know, the season before. And I don't know if it's a case of him being found out, or if he's just, you know, maybe better suited for a center forward role. But, you know, we need wingers also. Like, if you look at Leroy Sané, he's not necessarily consistent all the time, but you need sometimes that kind of guy that, you know, get the ball at his feet, he takes you on a run at defenders, make life hell for them. It's like Arsenal, I don't know, I think we do need another striker, and we need another, you know, Partey's not going to be around, another Declan Rice type player, like either slot in next to Declan Rice when we need him to play there, or play to kind of let Declan Rice rest a bit when he needs to rest. Because right now, it's like that position, he gets played and 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 played. And you have to look at your, you know, what's Arteta going to do with his left backs? What's he going to do with his centre backs? Because Saliba and Gabriel pick an injury up tomorrow. Yeah, I know you're gonna shift Kivio there and Ben White there. But can Kivio and Ben White go against, you know, a Man City if they have to? Because the thing is,
because we're also not trying different defensive combinations. No. That is also something that I find very worrying in a way about the way Arteta has set up this team, because it's like he's now built that that unit up of Saliba and Gabriel. But as I said, like, you need also to have in certain matches, like, say when we played Luton, then why didn't he then play something like what Younes Akinwunmi and Ben White maybe? just so that they, you know, just so they get that feel, so that, you know, when they come in, you know, it's like, you know, one, like almost like for like type of thing. Or yes, even sometimes we try a whole different, like a back four. Like if you're playing, say, in a League Cup or whatever, you try something like that, because all of a sudden that sort of minutes you're giving people, it's going to breathe confidence. And so it's so like everybody know, like if something does happen in the league or whatever, bang, we have already a alternate or whatever. But another thing I also wanted to add was, you know, like even what Yuna said with regards to Martinelli, it's so true, because I mean, I always look, I can't really stand, say, someone like Mahrez. He's kind of annoying. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's almost like what you said now with Leroy Sané. You know, there's going to be, he's going to like, he'll play you drunk, he'll dribble you drunk. Like, and for me, it's like with Saka, it's so predictable. Okay, now and then he comes like on the right foot or whatever. But I mean, like Mahrez is somebody, you'll either, he might not say beat you on the outside, but when he comes in, he'll make whatever pop. But there's also days where he'll surprise you, he'll come out on that right, and you'll almost like hit like a sort of looping shot to the far post for somebody to come in and nod in. Like and that is like, you don't see, it's like where Saka will try to rather smash the ball into the roof of the net. Or I mean, look, I don't like, you know, just like, you know, I'm just now bad mouthing Saka, but I mean, it goes for the other side as well. And that for me, there's also days where I think Martinelli can get the ball, maybe cross over. But then again, that leads us also to another problem, because the very thing that you mentioned earlier, having almost like a center forward, there's days where I do see Saka or Martinelli crossing the ball, but there's nobody in the 6-yard box to tap in or something.
Yeah, no, I spot and agree. And the point you make about the defense, you know, and with the rotation of the center backs, like, we're not saying, like, you know, just throw in two center backs at the same time. Like, let Kivio maybe play with Saliba for, you know, two games, or like 30 minutes in a game or 40 minutes, you know, where it's getting a bit comfortable. Let Kivio get some confidence. Then you maybe put a Ben White next to him, or let Ben White play next to Gabriel again for a bit. Or, you know, and then they get minutes. Then you put the two of them together. But now, you know, Gabriel and Saliba picks up an injury. Kivio and Ben White must play next to each other now. We have not played next to each other since who knows when. And obviously, it's going to look a bit disjointed. And what's going to happen? You know, those two players are going to get under the cosh. Arsenal are going to maybe drop points. And so it goes as a squad. You need to be able to say, this player gets injured, you know, he's going to slot in and he's going to do an able-bodied job. But just like you said, you know, Arteta needs to figure something out and quick, because, you know, another season maybe without a trophy, after playing such excellent football, like we're playing good, like, you know, excellent football, people are admiring us, but we need a trophy. It's pointless that, you know, you look at Man United last season. Yes, it's a Carabao Cup, and they made it to the Champions League. Same accolade as we did, you know. They came away with a medal at the end of the day. You know, this season, Chelsea or United may walk away with a medal or a trophy. Chelsea almost did in the Carabao Cup, and you look at us. You know, we might just end, you know, bam, second again. There needs to be some sort of improvement where, you know, we win a trophy, or we push City so hard now that they come to the end of the day, you know, that final whistle. If they win the league, they're like, you know, hands on their knees, you know, we're exhausted, we're tired, you know, well done to Arsenal. Unfortunately, you know, it wasn't good enough, but, you know, they push us down to the 90th minute. Not City celebrating the league title while they're watching the game at home, because they also threw it away.
Yeah, because I mean, look, I'm at the stage now where I mean, I know many, like, you have Arsenal base, like, or Arsenal's fan base, some of our fan base, that we, you know, they'll just, you know, nod and agree, but, you know, almost like too scared to think, you know, people are going to criticize me if you not speak out about, say, Arteta or whatever. But my issue is just, if you look, we are like this past a few windows, and this is all Arteta's budget at the moment. It's something like 700 million that we spent on players, yeah, that Arteta wanted, which the club fully agreed to, and I'm, you know, I'm happy and I'm glad that they did it. But now, I mean, if you're going to give him, like, say, we're heading already close to the £1 billion mark in the space of what, 3-4 years. If he still cannot, I mean, surely it has to, what's the word, equate to something where, something, you know, you can hold in your hands, because it's no use you just, yes, you know, being the nearly men. But I mean, if you're going to spend Because, I mean, we can criticize Man City all we want, or even Liverpool. But, I mean, if you're going to get close to, as I said, now, £1 billion, and you're spending, and you're just going to end up second and dumped out of the domestic cups with ease or whatever, then, honestly, then you may, as a club, I mean, after the best, I mean, as I said, whether it was Wenger, Emery, whoever, or Arteta now, at the end of the day, for me, what matters most is Arsenal Football Club, because they outlive everybody else, you know, every other coach that we had. So for me, it's like whatever's best for the club. And for me, it's like we're getting to a stage now where if you're going to have so much money to actually build, because I mean, he was given also the money to dismantle, say, what Wenger, I mean, of course, you could see that Wenger's project was at a stage where it was over. And I mean, with Emery, then of course, not given time, because I mean, there was like a lot of, you know, breakdowns and whatever. But I mean, now for Arteta now to, you know, actually dismantle what he did not want at the club, to build up a squad that he actually wanted, that he built, because I mean, this is all he's, and also people that got contract extensions and et cetera, et cetera, and also signings that were, you know, breaking whatever records. It's going to come down to also, like, my thing is, now you're going to have to, you know, put up or shut up, because come this next next season, something has to somehow give, like with Arsenal, like where something has to be shown that, you know, after all the spending, and something has to come out. Because I just think, for me also, what worries me a bit of Arteta's reign at the moment is like, we're not bringing through enough youngsters also. I mean, whether we're going to buy some youngsters or whatever and let them develop, but then also let them be at a stage where you know, it's almost like developing players more in the line of our Bayern are doing it or Barcelona doing it. Because, I mean, I was actually shocked when I watched that Yamal play the other day. Yeah. I mean, for somebody that young, or even that Kubasi, that centre-back, he's, what, 16 or 17, and he's leading the Barcelona defensive line, even though it took Araujo's, like, silliness to get himself sent off. But, I mean, he kind of kept the game, you know, in check at that young, like a tender age. And I think Arteta and Arsenal, or this current Arsenal, need to also have that sort of blend of bring the next like type of superstar through, but also bring somebody with more Champions League pedigree. Because I mean, you could see we were really left found, like, you know, fluttering or flower found, whatever, in that tie that you played with Bayern Munich. And I mean, partly also the Porto game, because there's certain things we can see Arsenal do lack, and that European pedigree.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, you like, out of all you said, you know, you made some valid points. But the most important thing is what you said is, I think he needs to get his hand on something. Yeah, we had the FA Cup at that point, but it's not the same squad. You know, you need to get your hand. I mean, Wenger done it where, you know, he lost his key players because he never got his hand on something, you know, trophy-wise. I mean, you know, tell me, would you feel this frustrated? Let's say last season, we ended second place, right? Where we did, but you took home the Europa League. This season, you got knocked out of the quarterfinals, kind of, you know, had a good showing of yourself in the Champions League. You got knocked out of the quarterfinals. You know, league title, you maybe don't win it. You could win it, you don't win it, but you end second. But you put your hands on a Carabao Cup. So over 2 seasons, you won the Europa League, a Carabao Cup. And, you know, you kind of put yourself there and there about in other various competitions. Would you be frustrated as you are now? Or would you be like, you know, let's just build on from this?
Now I'll be like, let's build on from this. Because, I mean, at that, winning actual honours, it actually also builds in confidence of the squad in general. Yeah, that sort of cutthroat. And it gets stronger and stronger, that sort of mentality of that winning and winning and winning. Because all of a sudden, you get, as you said now, you get the taste of one trophy, you want more, you want more, you want more. And at the moment, it's like they literally, as I said, they get played into the ground. But there's also not anybody else that can, you know, pick up the you know, almost like be the water carrier to help us push on to the next level. So, I don't know.
I know we're going on a bit, but I mean, if you look at our squad, you know, David Raya, I don't think he's still won major honors as a player. Right back, you know, Tomiyasu or who's it like, Ben White, you know, no real major honors as a player. You look at our centre backs, I don't know if Gabriel won league with Lille, or was it? I know he won, I think, with Zagreb, he played there, I think, as well. He maybe won something, but Saliba and him, you know, not real major honors, okay. Zinchenko, you kind of have the Man City as an anomaly. But then you have the likes of Kivio or, you know, who also hasn't won much. Declan Rice got a Conference League, but other than that, you know, also not much. Odegaard, I don't think he's won a real major honor in his career. Mm. Okay, Jorginho have a bit of main winner, but he's not like a mainstay in the team. But like Saka, you know, okay, he took an FA Cup, but not really, really part of that, you know, getting us over the finishing line. And then, you know, Martinelli as well. So you need, these guys need to taste something soon before heads start turning when another club starts offering money.
Yeah. Okay. After we've been running for almost an hour.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it was what I actually find like almost like a good stress reliever was also like that's the reason we even like started the whole podcast thing. Yeah. Like you and I had to actually just iron out whatever we had on our minds that's been, you know, bugging us in the background. But I mean, also sharing it with other people, our listeners, and that. But that being said, hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. Let's hope we can get over the line this afternoon against Wolves. I mean, it's one step out of the last, what, 5-6 steps going on to the at the end of the title race. So let's hope we can do things tonight, guys. Come on, you Gunners.
Come on, you Gunners. Let's get the 3 points and back to the top of the table.